Hallelujah. Praise be to our God and our King. On behalf of the Deacons Board, I would like to bring a word of thanksgiving today. I want to bring a word of thanksgiving that the Spirit lays on me for all of you people in this congregation, for everything that you do in your home groups, in your food banks, in all of the prayers that you give, in all of the worship that you do. I look around this congregation and I see many friends who are friends because you love our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And I thank God for each one of you. Let us pray. God, send your blessing. Send your purpose. Send your enlightenment on each one of us that we may give thanks for all that you have done and be a blessing in the world where you have placed us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Shannon's going to come now, and I think her theme today is Thanksgiving. And so, Shannon, I want to say to you, thank you for being who you are. Thank you for the way the Spirit of God works through you and enlightens us in how to follow in his way, his path, his will. Our Lord, our God, send your Spirit upon Shannon. Fill her that she may in turn enlighten us with your word. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Ted. Anyway, praise God. Happy Thanksgiving to you all. And thank you, and I do pray you have a fabulous weekend. How many are glad that it's a long weekend? How many of it doesn't matter? So just with that, just to know, yes, the food bank is open tomorrow. Bless you guys who are coming, but the office will not be, just so you're aware of that. We're talking about Thanksgiving, and we've been talking about the Holy Spirit, and though I'm not going to focus in on Holy Spirit per se, Holy Spirit is a part of everything that we do and how he teaches us and guides us. Giving thanks is something that is a part of the Christian life. Okay, or maybe not. Krista, is there a reason I can't? Is the pointer on the screen? I know. There we go. Isn't that pretty? You know, Wendell had shared in Access Morning that that's one of the way God communicates with us is through his nature. How many of you personally created a seed to grow a tree? No. We know, but when we look at his creation, and let's get this understanding. This is the fallen creation. This isn't even the perfect one. Can you imagine? Look how gorgeous it is. How much more the new heaven and earth will be. Oh, my goodness. Look, and this is just an artist rendering that we're looking at here. And the beauty of the Lord, the colors that are in fall, and like Wendell said, or Ted shared, you know, in not too long from now, the ground will be covered with white. And though we hate shoveling the white is sure pretty. And then when we get the hoarfrost on the trees, it's gorgeous. It's gorgeous. And so even though we could say the earth is dead or at rest, there's still beauty in it. Our God is amazing at all the seasons that he has created, and he speaks to us in just that. He's a God that understands beauty beyond what we possibly can. We just get to appreciate it. Our scripture today is something we looked at last week, 1 Thessalonians 5:16 to 18. Rejoice always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ. What is his will? That you rejoice always. How many of you find yourself doing that? Always. We know who they have to talk to over here. praying continually. That's his will for us. And giving thanks in all circumstances. This morning we're going to kind of look at this. And I want to kind of say, this doesn't always have to happen in this order. You don't have to rejoice first and then pray continually and give thanks in all circumstances. It can happen in any order. In fact, you might be giving thanks, and then you're, you know, and you're giving thanks, you're talking to God, that's prayer, and before you know it, you're rejoicing. So I just want to give you that. This isn't a three-part section teaching on how to do this correctly. First this, then that. Hey, let the Spirit lead you. Holy Spirit isn't confined to just doing it this three way. We have a tendency because, you know, that's the way we go to, when we go to school, and that's the way we're taught. There's order. And there's point one and point two and point three, and you have to do the Holy Spirit is a little freer than that. And be free to rejoice whenever, pray continually, but rejoice always. I mean, you get my point. So why is this God's will for us? Why rejoice always? Why is it his will for us? It's not just, well, rejoice. It's his will for us. Well, we're going to look at some scriptures here. As a matter of fact, I'm going to put them all up. And please know this is not an endless list. In fact, this is just a little taster. Because if you go through scripture, you will find rejoicing in the Lord from Genesis to Revelation. Rejoice. This is Psalms 18, 19 to 24. Open to me the gates of righteousness, and I will go through them. I will praise the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord through which the righteous shall enter. I will praise you, for you have answered me and have become my salvation. How many are glad that Jesus came? He is your salvation. Does it bring praise and rejoicing to your heart? The stone which the builder rejected has become the chief cornerstone. The Lord was... This was the Lord's doing. How many of you had a hand in it? Jesus is our cornerstone. It was the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. And again, if you just take a moment to think about all that happened through Jesus and all that has been restored to us and that we've been brought into the new life in Jesus, is it not a marvel in your eyes? This is the day the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. And again, the things the Lord has done, when we let ourselves meditate and grab a hold of it, it stirs up in our hearts, and before we know it, we have rejoicing coming out. Psalm 9:2 says, I will be glad and rejoice in you. I will sing praises to your name, O Most High. We've just been doing that. How many of you find yourself sometimes during the day, all of a sudden you realize you're humming a little hymn or something of the Lord? You're singing praises to him. I the past week, I have woken up every morning with a new song and realized, oh, how long have I been singing that? Because I'm not even coherent of the world yet, but I hear the song in my heart. It's like, hey, thank you, Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for doing that. Psalm 13:5 says, but I have trusted in your mercy. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. Zechariah 9:9 says, rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding on a donkey, a colt, a foal of a donkey. And we get the prophetic picture of Jesus at his triumphal entry into Jerusalem. But you know what? He is coming again. And he's coming on a white horse. And we will rejoice greatly. Our king has come and he is coming again. Philippians 4:4, rejoice in the Lord always. And I will say it again. Rejoice. So what is the purpose of us rejoicing? Why is it this the will of God for us? You know, when we look at those, I'll just go back here. We look at all of these, they are about So when we look at all these things, rejoicing in prayer and giving thanks, God wants to mature us. And as we do, as we learn to rejoice always, to pray continually, to give thanks in all circumstances, we grow in our faith. We mature in our walk with the Lord. When we come face to face with situations and circumstances and decisions that we have to make, it's in those times that we choose to rejoice in the Lord. We choose to pray and lift our requests before Him. We choose to give thanks in all circumstances. I want you to think about it this way. How many of you have had some not so fun things happening in your world that maybe not now, but have, or maybe you are in the middle of stuff? And we can do two things. We can get focused and very myopic on it, myopic vision on it, and just looking at that and looking at the circumstances and all the pain and the suffering and the whatever that's going on. Or we can choose to say, I'm going to rejoice in the Lord. Now you say, how can I rejoice in the Lord when that stuff's going on? Well, we're going to take a little walk where we all of a sudden we're in prayer, we're in communication with God, we're in conversation with Him. And we begin, and we're looking at His word is so good, and we're beginning to see the promises of God, and God says, see, this is what I promised you. He said, but I don't see that yet. He says, look to me. My word isn't going to return void. It will accomplish. These are my things. And when we start saying, wait a minute, God's going to take this circumstance. Remember Joseph in the Old Testament? Life was pretty crappy for him. Brothers tried to kill him and then decided not to and then threw him in a well and decided to sell him into slavery. And then he gets into Potiphar's house and Potiphar's wife accuses him of rape and he gets thrown into prison and then he gets, tells the baker and the wine taster, when you get to Pharaoh, tell him about me. And he forgets about him, and so he spends another 2 years in prison. But how did Joseph respond in all of that? He looked to the Lord. And when his brothers finally arrived in Egypt, because remember, they're the ones who messed up, but, he said to them, what you intended for evil, God has turned to good. The enemy and the people that don't know God, that the enemy uses, can create some pretty ucky things in our lives. It doesn't mean we're going to walk because we know Jesus that we're going to walk this perfect. And, it doesn't even mean when we're walking with Jesus perfectly, if I can put it that way, life is going to be good. In fact, you're going to find you have even more torment in your life because the enemy isn't happy about you being happy. But how about if we stop and we say, Lord, what are you going to do with this situation? My God's a good God. I see that in your word. God, I don't understand. I'm not going to use my own understanding. In fact, Proverbs, let me put my glasses on so I read it correctly, 3 verses 5 and 6 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to Him, or some translations say acknowledge Him, and He will make your paths straight. He'll direct your paths. So when we stop, because we all have the emotional reactions to things that, when it's not going well. But if we stop and we say, Lord, how are you going to use this for my good and your glory? And I'm going to trust you to direct my paths in this. In fact, I'm going to trust you so much, I'm going to start rejoicing now because I know that you're going to bring a victory. And I may not understand what that victory looks like because I want it to be this way. But Joseph, I am 100% sure, did not think that the promises that God had made him, the vision and dreams, he was going to end up in Egypt. Pretty sure he didn't see that coming. And sometimes we don't see what's coming, but the Lord is going to make a way. And that's where we, like I said, when we can start rejoicing before we even see the victory, What does that mean about what's happening in our heart? We're maturing. We're understanding who God is. And it's a walk. It's a walk. So again, as we see how rejoicing helps us mature, as you get to know him, as you get to fellowship with him, grow in intimacy, go into the secret and the quiet places. Remember Jesus? He's our model. He went away. What will the Lord show us? What will the Spirit reveal there that you can come out declaring, this is God? Okay, let's look at this scripture over here. We're going to get ahead to this one here. Yet he did not waver. This is talking about Abraham. Through unbelief regarding the promises of God, but was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God. There's times where we have to strengthen ourselves and say, I'm pressing in for the rejoicing. Strengthening our faith, and in the end, it gives glory to God. Romans 5:7, we live by faith, not by sight. Sometimes we want the outcome first, and then we'll have faith. Hebrews 11:1, now faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance of what we do not see. And so again, as God asks us to press in and trust him, and we rejoice in what we do not see yet, we will have an outcome and a growth in ourselves beyond what we thought. We don't always see that. Okay, let's move on here. 2 Corinthians 4:13-18. It is written, I believe, therefore I have spoken. Since we have the same spirit of faith, we also believe and therefore speak, because we know that the one who raised Jesus from the dead will also raise us with Jesus and present us with you to himself. All of this is for your benefit, so that the grace that is reaching more and more people may cause thanksgiving to overflow to the glory of God. You know, as we mature, and I'm going to actually cover this probably a little more at the end, one of the things that we do is we carry the glory of God as believers of God. And as we carry that and share the good news of Jesus, more and more people come to the Lord. And their hearts start overflowing in thanksgiving and giving glory to God. I loved the word the Lord had for us this morning. Sometimes we've just plain old become weary. We're tired. What happens when we start rejoicing? It changes our altitude. I love that. That's awesome. It changes our altitude. It starts encouraging us. It starts building us up. It starts strengthening us. And so we want to be a people who rejoice even before we see the outcome, trusting our God is good. I have a little saying that, it kind of curled up in a piece of paper that was on my wall that said, how are you going to change this for my good and your glory? You know, sometimes we forget about the glory part of the Lord. We just want the good for us. But he changes things not only for his good, our good, but his glory. From Romans 8:28, it says, all things work together for the good of those who love God, those who are called according to his purpose. You know, sometimes we look at our circumstances and situations and we say, oh my goodness, God, why is this happening? And he says, just take a breath. And look at him versus your circumstance or situation. Take it to the word of God that promises for us that he will work it out. You know, I'm sorry, I had a little story I was going to tell there, and I wish I had written it in my notes because now it's not there, but that's okay. So the rejoicing in the Lord is something that is the will of God for us. He wants us rejoicing so that we grow, and we grow in our faith and we mature as believers. Oops, that was the second part of that scripture. So we were rejoicing in the Lord always. The next is pray continually. Now, for time's sake, I'm not going to get into that because that in itself is at least a full sermon, if not two. Praying continually. But I will leave you with this on that. Praying continually doesn't mean you're down on your knees and your prayer closet all the time. It means that you're in fellowship and communication with God continually. Now, let's be honest. How many of us talk to God throughout the day? Even little things. So that's what this is speaking to. It's speaking to your fellowship. It's speaking to your communication with him. It's speaking like you're talking to your friend, talking to your father, or talking to a spouse. It's a continual thing. And so, again, I'm not going to get into that, but leave you with that part of it today on prayer. A continual fellowship and connection with God throughout your day. Now, let's get to the last one that was on that list. Oops, sorry. Giving thanks in all circumstances. Psalm 69:30 says, I will praise the name of God with a song and will magnify him with thanksgiving. Well, let's think about that. We were just talking about singing to the Lord. One of the things we like about in rejoicing, I find myself singing. One of the things that happens when we start giving thanks to the Lord is we magnify him. Now, let me tell you, he doesn't need a magnifying glass to be magnified. What's happening is the God who is that big, we start recognizing. How big is my God in this circumstance? There's nothing my God cannot do. Yeah. Sing it out loud, Betty. So strong and so mighty. There's nothing my God cannot do. The valleys are his. The birds in the treetops are too. Yes. But it says we sing praises to the name of God. We sing out these songs and magnify him with thanksgiving. When we start talking about God and how big he is and how mighty and what he can do in our lives, should stir our hearts to thanksgiving. Thankfulness. How many of you are thankful? Mm-hmm. We are. I don't doubt that. There's a little song, and I know probably most of you, not all of you know it, that says, count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings and, let's start again. Count your blessings. Let's stop there. What does it say? Name them one by one. We don't want to sit back and say, thank you, God, I'm really blessed. What are your blessings? What are your blessings? Name them one by one. How many of you woke up this morning? Thank you, God, I'm alive. How many put your feet on the floor this morning? Thank you, God. I can put my feet on the floor. How many of you put clothes on today? Thank you, God, they're dressed. How many of you made it here today? How did you get here? Did you walk? Did you take a car? You made it here, and no matter how you got here, you're here. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. How many of you like the fact that we have heat in this building? Well, I'm going to be even more thankful and say I'm thankful for the building. Do you like the chair you're sitting in? Thank you, Lord. Did you see the beauty when you came in the fall? Did you thank the Lord for the leaves that the wind blew away last night? Are you thankful for your family? Even the ones that irritate you. Name your blessings. And then we look to Jesus. We look to our Lord. And we say, thank you, God, that you loved us so much. You were willing to give your son. Thank you, Jesus, that you were willing to go to the cross. Thank you, Jesus, that you were willing to bear my sins. Thank you, Jesus, that you took my place in the grave, that you went to hell on my behalf. Thank you, Lord, that you rose him again from the dead, that we can now rejoice in eternal life. Thank you for your salvation. Thank you that I'm a child of God because of Jesus. Thank you that I have an eternal reward. Thank you that you have given me Holy Spirit. Thank you, thank you, thank you. You see, it isn't always just about the material things. It's about how amazing our God is. We sang it this morning. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His mercies endure forever. We have a good, good Father. And we sang that this morning. Here's another one. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter his courts with praise. I will say this is the day that the Lord has made, and I'll rejoice for he has made me glad. Amen. He has made me glad. Amen. I'm going to put another verse up here, Revelation 21:21, and this is going to be a little bit of an interesting little sideline with me. Come with me to Revelation 21:21 that says, the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Each individual gate was of one pearl, and the street of the city was pure gold, like transparent glass. What has that got to do with anything? Okay, let's think about this. This is talking about the New Jerusalem. This is talking about the kingdom of God. And it talks about how one wall, okay, you got to imagine one wall as measured out in Revelations 14 is 1,400 miles, 1,400 miles. 1,400 miles this way, 1,400 miles this way, 1,400 miles that way, 1,400 miles this way, 1,400 miles that way. And it says there are 12 gates, three on each side. How big do those gates have to be? They're probably quite big. And then it says that these gates, each one of them is made out of one pearl. How big is that pearl for that one gate? Now times it by 12. Where am I going with this? Well, let's talk about how a pearl is formed. You got this oyster or a mollusk, and it gets an irritant in it. And if you've ever had a little irritating place and a tender spot on you, you know it can drive you crazy. Tiny little thing, drive you crazy. Well, what the oyster does is it starts coating this little irritant with something called nacre. I hope I pronounced that right. And it continues to do that and coats it and coats it and coats it. And eventually you have a pearl, and how long it goes, you have a bigger pearl. So what I'm trying to draw an image for you is we enter his courts with thanksgiving. Can our thanksgiving in the irritating things be the thing that nacre that coats those irritants? Do you see what I'm saying here? We enter in and it's coating those irritating things that come, that we're not allowing it. And eventually, if I can put it this way, as we do that, it becomes the gates that we enter through to him. Those little irritants become the places that we take our troubles and ignore them to the glory of God, to thank him for, I don't know what you're going to do with this irritant, but let it be a pearl. I pray it'll be a gate big enough to come in. Again, Psalm 104, I'll enter his gates with thanksgiving. I will come into his courts with praise. Why is it God's will for us to rejoice always, pray continually, and give thanks in all circumstances? Because we become mature and walk. And again, it's a process, it's a journey. And here's another little thing I want to talk to you about. That thanksgiving in all circumstances does two things. The first thing, if you think about thanksgiving, it's humbling. Because when you give thanks to somebody or something, it has nothing to do with you. It's not about you, it's about them. We give thanks. Thank you for what you have done. Thank you for how you have done this. It's not about what I've done, it's about what they've done. It's a place to humble and to recognize and be grateful. I love the song Gratitude. I have nothing else fit for a king but a grateful heart, singing hallelujah. I have nothing else fit for a king. It's a humbling experience to say thank you and really mean, I recognize what you have done. And the second one is choosing to be thankful turns your focus from what is happening or could happen, because we can get fixated on that too, to God and acknowledging him and the gifts and the blessings that he has poured out on us. That he has brought the victory. And again, as we recognize that we have the victory in Jesus, though we're not seeing it, we're walking in faith. Faith is not sight, right? We're walking in faith. We might see it in the spirit. That layer of our pearl starts forming. And we start enjoying the good things of God and thanking him for how wonderful he is. And thank him, Lord, like in Psalm, we all know Psalm 23. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall not fear no evil, for the Lord is with me. He is a good shepherd who leads. He can lead you through the dark places. You may not be able to see anything, but he knows, and he's good at leading us. And then where does he lead us? To a table, a banqueting table before our enemies, before these irritants. And our cup overflows. And do we sit and say, wow, but I'm going to go eat out of the garbage can, or are we going to come to the banqueting table he's prepared? Because sometimes we don't allow ourselves to come and participate in the banqueting table. God's will for us is to be rejoicing in constant fellowship with him and giving thanks in all circumstances, because we know our God is a good God who is going to bring us through things. And you know what? Sometimes those things is he's asking you to drop stuff off of your life that's not doing you any good. And that's okay too. In fact, that's great. As we mature, as we grow, we got to remember we as believers in Christ carry that glory of God, trusting his word, living a life of prayer, exercising our faith in him, reflecting the fruits of the Spirit from our lives, that joy, the love, and the peace. And what happens is when we start maturing, we bring an atmosphere of heaven, the glory of God, that makes a difference here on the earth. And that's where I'm going today. That's why God says it's my will for you to rejoice always. Pray continually. I hope it's as much fun. Let's stand. Father, we come before you, and we are truly thankful. We rejoice in all the things that go on in our lives that bring us closer to you, that show us again and again of your goodness in our lives. Father, again, we thank you for everything, and especially our Lord Jesus. And as we go from this place, may we always be reminded of how good we have it, because we have a good, good God. Again, we give you thanks, glory, and praise. In the mighty and powerful name of our Lord Jesus, and the presence of your Holy Spirit in us, again, we say amen. Amen.